Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Afrida Love Show, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host on tonight, Dr. Afrida Love, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so excited and delighted that each and every one of you decided to tune in to the Afrida Love Show. We're going to have a family talk. I'm going to answer some of your questions, and we're just going to have a good time. And I want to thank each and every one of you for joining. But before we begin, we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us as we were able to wake up this morning and you started us on our way. We thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. We ask that you continue to bless us to be more like you. Bless our hearts and our minds and help us to do your holy will. We thank you for the things you're doing, the things you're going to do, and the things you've already done. We thank you and we bless you for each and every person who's listening to this ministry, those who will listen. And we just say thank you for everything you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And we have several different, shows airing. It's the same show, but it's airing in multiple countries and multiple platforms. But I want to read to you Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. I have read to you Psalm 136. Numbers 1 through 9, may the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, through doers, and the seekers of his holy word. We're going to pause for a moment of silence right quick. Okay. All righty. So, we have all come into this platform. We've gathered in God's name to worship him. And at this time, I want you to understand and recognize that God is good. I'm going to give you a brief synopsis of Your God on the Go, which is coming out this year. We're going to focus on the subject of examples of spiritual gifts. Now, when we speak about examples of spiritual gifts, we know that each and every person has a gift. You have a gift that you were called to do. You have a purpose for being on this earth, right? You're just not on earth taking up space. You're actually an integral part of the earth, and you have something that you need or a person or persons need. And so examples of spiritual gift, which is highlighted in the book, Jesus journeyed to many different places, and he worked many different miracles. And the following spiritual gifts are gifts that God utilized in the Bible to demonstrate his love to his people. He had the gift of administration, which means that God was the overseer of the earth. He had the spirit of discernment when we think about the disciples and the betrayal. He had the gift of evangelism, which means that God went to and fro spreading the gospel. He had faith. The faith of a mustard seed. God spoke about his people and how his people should have the faith of a mustard seed. Then giving. We cannot beat God giving. God says to ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be open. God was hospitable. He went to many different cities, healing the sick, raising the dead. God has wisdom. Right in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, so he knows. God has mercy. He died for us. He died for our sins. He went around ministering, pastoring. God taught his disciples, although he knew that they betrayed him. And God just had many different gifts. And when we talk about administration within the Bible, it relates to the gift in which God can give direction unto people. And so in 1 Corinthians 14 and 40, it says, let all things be done decent and in order. And when we speak about decent and in order, we mean that there is a process for each and everything. And so we've spoken about this before. I've given you many different scenarios. And we have to do things decent and in order. And that's how God wants our lives to be, decent and in order. He says that our body is our temple. So therefore we should watch what we consume and watch what we do with our bodies. And God wants us to walk in his way and talk in his way and live in his way. And we strive to do that on a daily basis. So when we talk about administration, we talk about the direction, and we pray to God. And each and every day I'm praying to God. I want God to show me the direction he wants me to go. You know, I want to go in the direction of speaking, in the direction of leading, in the direction of books, in the direction of spirituality, in the direction of love. I want to go in all those different directions. And I say different directions, but God says it's the same direction because it's the right direction. And when you do that, you are walking in the administration of God. But when you fail to do that, when we fail to do that, we are not walking in the administration of God. God directs us. He directs our paths, and that should be our prayer. We speak about direction. We want to make sure that is ordained by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that particular gift I wanted to give unto you, the gift of administration, being able to direct people. You know, we direct choirs, and I can hear the beat of the music, and I can utilize my hands and my body in order to go with the flow. But God says he wants us to direct people. He wants our path to be directed. Lord, where should I be? Where should I go? Who should I lead? Whom should I serve? Those are the questions we should ask God on a daily basis, and God will show us because he is the God of administration. Okay? All right. Now, we had some conversations with our family, and I have many different family members who are in administration, speaking of administration, and education, which we love dearly, and also nursing and corporate and things of that nature. But I want to talk to you a little bit about, you asked me a question, and the question was, the question centered on selecting a championship team. Selecting the championship team. Now, I used to be a coach, and I also used to be in the military. And first of all, I want to speak about the military because that's where it all began. In the military, we had what we call platoons, and these were individuals who were our battle buddies. They were with us in every single endeavor, from sleeping to eating to all of the activities, and we were a team. And we didn't have the opportunity to select our teams. Our team was already selected for us. So that means that within that realm, we had to draw on each other and train each other and help each other, which was good. But then you had some teammates who they couldn't take the pressure of expectations, and they couldn't handle what was transpiring, which means running miles and miles and hot BDUs and things of that nature, obstacle courses and all that good stuff. And so those individuals took measures such as cutting their wrist or doing other things like that in order to avoid the tension or avoid the pressure. And so with that, you know, it was very important that support was in place, because if not, these soldiers were going to be shipped back home, and there goes their careers, because some people were just in the military for a career. And so when we look at teams, we want to develop championship teams. Someone asked me if I was leading, what would I look for? I have to look for individuals who are strong. And what I mean by that is strong-minded. We can't carry our feelings on our shoulders, and we can't just see everything one way, a right way. One way is a right way. There are several different ways that you can get to your destination. I always try to find strategies, especially when I'm given a team. I always try to find strategies in order to make things better. But I was asked the question, if I was starting from scratch, what would I look for? And it's a couple of things. I'm going to look for stamina. I'm going to look for grit. I'm going to look for strength. I'm going to look for power. I'm going to look for just being you, being yourself. And I'm going to look for people who, in other words, are trustworthy and who are honest, and people who can handle what's before you. You know, we talk about that. And so they said, how do you know? You know, they were talking about in an organization or a school setting. I said, well, you have to, you know, it's kind of like trying out for a basketball team or a football team. I said, you have to put those people out there and see what they have. I said, you know, and then you select. I said, part of the process that I've been involved in previous years, we have questions that we ask. Okay, some people are good at articulating, right? And some people are good at demonstrating, but we have to have that balance. So what happened was a long time ago when I first when I first got out of college, I was telling my cousin who's listening, many of you are listening, that they had us actually teach in a classroom. And this was a classroom that had alternative students. And basically, if you could engage those students and keep their attention and have control over the classroom, and what I mean by control is the students not taking over the classroom, then you're hired, okay? And then if there was a deficiency or something, then you would go back, you'd be trained for a couple of weeks or month or year, then you try again. And that's the way the system was. And with that, they selected the cream of the crop. You know, no one went in without tools and strategies and skills. And so what's happening, like I was telling our family, I said, it's a teacher shortage all over the world. You can go to Georgia, you can go to Las Vegas, you can come to Texas. There's a teacher shortage. And so people are desperate for teachers. And what happens is these teachers are recruited, some, and they're not trained by experience. They're only asked questions. And so those questions, right, it seems right. I think it's right. But until I see you in action, then I'll really know. And so many people say, well, isn't that what an internship is? Well, an internship is a practice while you're in college. There's something about when a college student comes in, because I've performed many internships. The students are excited. This is a college student. This student's only, what, especially if it's high school, this student's only 5 or 6 years older, so I'm not going to give this student teacher a hard time, all right? So then after graduation and people go their separate ways and recruiters are seeking teachers, then you have your degree, good. I'm going to interview you. We like you, good. You ask the questions, well, good. You're fitted for this class. And there is a process. And so I'm going to a conference. I'm actually speaking at a conference about the process that they took us through, right? We had to actually demonstrate that we could handle it. And these were students, for instance, Baylor students, before we graduated. Yeah, we had internships, but we had to take a class for a couple of weeks by ourselves, right? And, of course, the teacher was nearby, of course. But this was a trial and error. And if you could handle it, you received the job. And what they mean by that, they have to, you know, go through different observations and things of that nature. And it takes a few weeks, but it's worth it, right? Because you don't want to set up anyone for failure. So the question was, if I was a leader, what would I look for? I'm looking for skills. That's what I'm looking for. I love your personality, you know, but I'm looking for skills, a skill set, right? And that skill set is well-rounded. That's the bottom line. And whatever that skill set is, I'm thinking about the children and I'm thinking about their skill set as far as academics. Now, behaviorally, right, we're going to have to give those tools. Key is engagement. If you're able to engage, like I told our cousin, if she's, you know, if you could tell the teachers, if you're able to engage them, then that's going to deter some of that behavior. But you're going to still have that 20%, maybe 30%, who you still have to spend time molding those students to correct their behavior. But for the most part, planning and having highly engaged classrooms really deter some of that behavior because they don't have time, right? And so we go back to the old thing of drawing on past experiences, bringing real-life experiences, and things of that nature. But if I was a leader, I will look for skills. That's number one. I will ask you questions later. I want to know what skills do you have. And that's it. If you have skills, then we can go from there. I want to know what skills do you have, you know. And also when we talk about patience, it's not patience as in, you know, allowing someone to keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. I told you about that, you know. That's not it. No, that's not what patience is. Patience is providing opportunity and a chance. A chance. Not chances on and on. You keep doing the same thing, you know, in circles. No. Every day is a new opportunity. And I gave my cousin an example. I say, for example, if you had someone who is always acting up every day, right? Every day should be a new day. You know, when I walk and I'm that kid, I don't want you telling me, I already know this is going to be a bad day. I already know I'm going to have to send you out. No, you don't, because I may have a good day today and come in and sit down. And so when I say patience, it's not allowing something to continue. That's ineffectiveness like we talked about with the top, with this other. That's ineffective. But I'm saying allow someone, give someone a chance, an opportunity. And that's how I look at all of my prospects for plays, and we're having a play, okay, for school. You know, we was talking about our fake school and what I as a leader would look for. And I'm looking for skills, and I'm looking for patience. And patience is not, once again, allowing someone to keep doing the same thing over and over again. And you say, oh, that's okay. No, there has to be some type of consequence, right? But you give that person a chance, right? Every day should be a new chance, a new opportunity. And so, you know, my question or my answer was very simple. Skills. That's it. You know, I used to be a coach, and I'm looking for skills. That's what I'm looking for. Or if you don't have those skills yet, are you able to be coached? That's what I'm looking for. And so it's nothing like hidden or anything, and it's nothing deep. Is do you have the skills, or are you willing to learn the skills? That's it. Bottom line. And so I pray to God each and every day. I ask God, I said, I want God to show me where he wants me to be, like as far as spiritual, as far as books, career, all of that. I want God to show me. I thank God for showing me people. I thank God for that. And because of that, that has made me greater. Because now I can write about it, now I can speak about it, and now I can be about it. And I'm not going to be that type of leader. And so with that, it's a learning experience, right? And so every day in life should be a learning experience. You know, you hire the most skilled people. Your goal is to help them become champions. But they have control of their attitudes and their intrinsic and extrinsic motivation, right? We all have control of our motivation. People can assist in motivation. But if you don't have that motivation as a leader, as a teacher, then it's not going to happen. And so you can't transfer your motivation to your learners, period. And so that's why it's very important to have skills, right? Skills is most important for me, most definitely. You know, when I'm running, you know, I ran a race this past weekend. I'm a sprinter, but I've trained my muscles to be long distance. And I can give most runners a run for their money who's been sprinting a long time, you know. But I've trained my body for that. Now, if you would have asked me to run 6 or 7 miles back in 97, I would have looked at you like I can barely run one time around the track because I am a sprinter. But since I've joined the military and been training and things, my muscles can pretty much take long distance. Speaking of long distance, there's a race coming up that I will be running, and I'm training for that. And so it's just a great experience, and like I said, it's all about skills. That's what it's about. It's is about skills, and it's about building those championship teams, not for the accolades, not for the awards, but it's for our learners and it's for the people we serve. And so if we can build championship teams and people who are go-getters and people who have patience, which means giving someone an opportunity or a chance, right, and able to handle your organization. I tell, when I was working with student teachers, I told them, I said, this is your business. And they looked at me and I said, your classroom is your business. I would travel to Bastrop. I would travel all over Texas working with new teachers. I said, this is your organization. You are the owner of this organization. I said, and when a guest come in or when I come in, I want to know that you are the owner. I don't need you said, I'm the owner. I want to see it. So when someone walks in, I want to see that you're the owner. I said, it's just like walking in the store. I said, if customers are all behind the counter, right, and at the cash register or standing outside greeting, say, come on in my store, right, I'm not going to know who is in charge. So when I walk into your classroom, right, I want to know that that's your store. I want to know that these are your customers, and I want to see the product that y'all are producing because I want to see and I want what you have. And that's motivation, right? But having to guess who is in charge, who is over the organization, that's not good. That means that something, things aren't, we go back to that verse, things aren't decent and in order. I'm trying to figure out. And so working with those new teachers, traveling all over the world, traveling all over Texas, actually, I said, I have to know that you own this store, that this is your business. And they understood that. And so when I would go and help teachers and give them feedback and all that great stuff, they were like, oh, so this is what you're looking for. I said, yeah. I said, I want to know without you saying it and without you just taking full control, I want to know that this is your store. And I want to know that these are your customers and I want to see the product, period. That's it. And that's what I thought about as teaching. My professors told me. They said, when you go in the classroom, they said, the administrators are not the owners of your organization. They are the overseers, right? Which means that when you walk in that classroom, at Free to Love, that means that you set up your store like you want it. That means the desk and, you know, the stations and all that good stuff. And you set your expectations. That's just like a store. You set your prices. You don't have people come in there setting prices for you. You set your own expectations, right? And so you as a teacher or you as a leader, that is your business. And you're going to have to run your business in a decent and orderly fashion. There should be no second guessing, I told my teachers. No second guessing when I come in. Students all behind the desk, writing on the chalkboard, you know, just talking. Who is in charge? Who's over this organization? There has to be some type of decency and an order. Standing outside, sitting outside, this is not the streets. You're going to have to think of creative strategies, placements, and things of that nature. And I had to do that, right? You know, when you go to a store, there are already expectations. You know, if you don't have on a shirt and shoes, you can't come in the store. Right? And so the expectations, when they come in, they've met your expectations. So why are we throwing them out? They have to know your expectations, and there has to be some type of consequence in order for that particular habit to be broken. And the consequence can't be throwing your customers out the store. It's communicating with them, letting them know, hey, no shirts, no shoes. You're not coming in, period. Don't even come in because I'm going to tell you to go out, period. And so that's how I always thought about that. And actually, I'm speaking in the summer to some principals about some things that and strategies that I taught my new teachers. And it worked. And it works, right? And so that's just one concept that I wanted to share with you since you asked about that. You know, this is your organization. Yeah, you have administrators and you have other people, but this is your little world. And you set the expectations. You are the pilot, the learners, not the clients. You are. And so, therefore, you're setting those expectations. And you are modeling those expectations, and you expect those expectations. And putting customers out is not going to deter the fact that they're going to come back in again and do the same thing. You have to break those habits. It's called consistency. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that, and we're writing a book. You know, I told you right now, and this should be the last day that the book is being edited. I'm going to check on it. But we're working on the book, editing, and then I have another book coming out. And then there's a parent guide book, and then there's also the Golden Rule book that's coming out. And we spoke about that. And we're going to have conferences on leadership. And that's just the type of leadership you don't want because it's ineffective, right? And so we spoke about that. But I wanted to bring that to your attention because you asked. And so that's pretty much just the nuts and bolts of education as far as what I'm speaking about. So the gist of this conversation was understanding that this is your organization, your classroom is, right? And when I walk in, I want to know who owns this store, who owns this shop, right? Because if I walk in and I see someone standing out, I'm going to think that that's the owner greeting me, right? And it's not. The first person I should see is you, because why? You're the owner. You know, just like your house. When I knock on the door, I don't expect your neighbor, you know, to come to the door because that's not their house. I expect for you to. And so that's just an expectation, you know. And so that's it. And so it's very simple. And we pray to God that God shows us direction. And when God shows us direction, then we'll be fine. And God always orders our steps, and he shows us directions each and every day. Okay? All right, so a few announcements. If someone asks you, how do I get on a national radio show? Okay, if you're an author, writer, illustrator, psalmist, anyone with a positive message, you can email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. Once again, that's emonya@yahoo.com. In addition to that, be sure to pray for each and every person all around the world. Because the prayer of the righteous availeth much. Pray for those you know and those you do not know. Okay? In addition to that, there are a couple of races going on that I'll be participating in. I had the opportunity to run in Big Fort Worth, Texas, one of my favorite places besides Las Vegas. Fort Worth, Texas, for a great cause. And so I enjoyed that particular run, and I'm getting ready to run on the 30th. And so that'll be exciting. And then we're going to also run in Vegas. That's going to be my excuse for going to Vegas besides the reunion. And so I'm just excited about great things that's occurring, and I'm getting these books out there, and it's going to be a great year, you know, and God is preparing, and God is doing great things and opening doors, and we thank God for the closed doors, and we just ask God to continue to order our steps because we do believe in God. And also the MD Anderson Cancer Center with the University of Texas is collecting funds for cancer survivors. These funds basically go to cancer patients, and so we want to make sure that we donate there. The Salvation Army also has a campaign going on where you can donate up to $20 to $30 and feed a couple of families. That's a great opportunity to give back to the community. We also have clothes giveaways. I will have those addresses pretty soon. I don't have it right now, but it's coming. And so I just want you to stay tuned with that, and I want you to know that God loves you. God wants the best for you. And if someone tells you different, then that's not true. And if someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up because God is love. And until next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. This is your host, Dr. Avrita. Love.